What if you discovered someone was deceiving you about a long-held belief that was very important to you? What if you found that something you believed in all your life was actually a deception and you did not know the real truth? And what if that subject happened to be the teaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? What if you found that all you had known about the central truth of the Christian religion, Easter, and all the traditional celebrations that surround it were a charade filled with falsehoods? Well, don't despair. The truth of Christ and His death and His resurrection are intact, but you may not have heard the complete story. Stay with us on Beyond Today as we expose the Easter charade.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Every spring, on a particular Sunday morning, an interesting event takes place in towns and villages and countrysides around the world. People are up early before sunrise, heading out to an unusual occasion for our modern world. They're out watching and waiting for the sun to rise in the eastern sky as part of a religious service. Later on the same morning, many others will arise, dress in fine new clothes, and head off to church. For many, this will be one of only two or three times in a year they even attend a formal church service. For many, this will be the end of a period of self-sacrifice, commonly called Lent. And they will return to foods and activities they gave up for the previous 40 days. Others will take part in family gatherings around a traditional ham dinner. Children will enjoy chocolate rabbits, colored eggs, and egg hunting on the lawn. This is Easter, one of the biggest holidays of the year for those living in the West. But what is its purpose? What is it supposed to commemorate? Why these different activities? Why would anyone get up before dawn to watch the sunrise on this day? Why colored eggs? And what does a chocolate rabbit, chocolate or otherwise, have to do with a religious holiday? Our world has many religious traditions and customs that we take for granted and never raise a critical examination. But what real sense do the activities of this day called Easter really make after all? In answer to this question, many will reply that Sunday was the day on which Christ rose from the dead and that His resurrection is the central reason for observing the Easter holiday. But is it? Was Christ resurrected on a Sunday? Don't be too quick to answer that question. Have you ever looked at what the Bible says on this subject? We're going to explore these and other questions today with Dave Myers, who is a pastor with the United Church of God. Dave, let's get right to it. When was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, resurrected?
There's the authority we use to answer any of these kinds of questions is not human traditions, but it's the Scripture. So we go to the Scripture. In this case, it's quite astonishing to find out that Christ was not resurrected on Sunday morning. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it say that Christ rose on Sunday morning. In fact, when in John chapter 20, for example, in the first few verses, it mentions that Mary Magdalene comes to Christ's tomb while it was yet dark. So before the sun ever came up, and the stone was rolled away, and Christ was already gone. So it is accurate to say that He had been resurrected by Sunday morning, but He wasn't resurrected on Sunday morning.
So, was the timing of this resurrection a very important sign of who Jesus Christ really was?
Absolutely. Some people would say it really doesn't matter as long as Jesus was resurrected. But the important thing to know is that Christ Himself made an issue out of when His resurrection would take place. He stated that He would be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Now, if He hadn't have said anything, it really wouldn't matter. There were lots of signs that Jesus Christ gave showing that He was the Messiah. Lots of miracles.
Healings.
All kinds of things. Changing water into wine.
That was His first miracle.
Yeah, amazing miracles. And yet, the skeptics of His day, the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees came to Him and said, "Oh, teacher, give us a sign. In other words, prove to us that you're the Messiah." And He said, "I'll only give one sign, and that's the sign of the prophet Jonah." Now, most everyone's familiar with the story, at least, of Jonah.
Jonah swallowed by the whale.
That's right. He gets a message from God to take to Nineveh. He runs away from it, gets on a ship, goes out, storm comes, he gets thrown overboard, and he gets swallowed by this great fish. And in Jonah 1:17, it says he was there for 3 days and three nights.
In the belly of the whale.
That's right. The great fish, the whale, whatever it was.
And now, so Christ used that.
Exactly. In Matthew 12, then, Jesus says, in the same way, I will use the sign of the prophet Jonah. I'll be 3 days and three nights in the grave.
And this was in the context of the questioning as to really who he was as the Son of God.
That's right. Are you or are you not? Give us a sign that proves who you are. So that was the one sign that Christ gave that would prove that he was the Messiah. So in that sense, it becomes a very important thing to understand and to make sure it's right.
All right. Did he fulfill that sign?
Absolutely. Everything Christ said he would do, he did. If he didn't do that, he really couldn't be the Son of God. He couldn't be the Savior. So he had to have been in the grave 3 days and three nights to verify that, in fact, he was the Messiah. Because if he didn't fulfill those things, he either lied to us or he couldn't fulfill what he said.
Not parts of 3 days?
Well, sometimes that's the typical explanation. When you start with Friday, Good Friday supposedly, and you come to Sunday morning, the only way you can possibly figure out 3 days and three nights is, well, he didn't really mean that. He didn't mean 72 hours. He meant part of Friday, part of all of Saturday, and maybe part of Sundays. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not 3 days and three nights. If I tell you I'm coming over in 3 days and three nights, you don't expect me in a day and a half.
No.
You expect me after 72 hours. So Christ
I take you at your word.
That's right. And we take Christ at his word. He was put in the grave at the end of the day, just before sunset, and he would have had to come out of the grave just before sunset as well. So what we really understand the scriptures to show is that when Mary got there on Sunday morning, he was already gone. He had been resurrected the previous day at sunset, 3 days and three nights after he'd been put in the grave.
All right, let's go back again. Just how critical was this to the whole story of Christ?
Good question. A lot of folks will say it's not that important, as long as he was resurrected. But again, since it was the only sign that he gave, it becomes very critical.
He made a specific point of
exactly.
doing that.
Either he's a liar and didn't do what he said, or he's unable to do it. You know, see, this was a miracle that could not be duplicated. That's why it was the one sign. You might remember in Moses' time, Moses had miracles he could do to show that God was sending him to free the Israelites. But Pharaoh's magicians could also duplicate some of those miracles. This was a miracle that no one could duplicate. A man was dead for 3 days and three nights in the grave. Grave opens up and he's gone. And just as a side note, it's important to realize God wouldn't have had to roll the stone away to get Jesus out. He was made of spirit by that time at his resurrection. He could have come out by himself.
That's right, because the accounts show that when they got to the tomb, the stone was already moved.
That's right.
It was, this was not a small stone. It was a large,
very heavy
stone.
It was even sealed to show that he was sealed into that tomb.
So I've seen some of those tombs like that in Jerusalem that have that type of a rolling stone in front of it, and you know it would have taken several men to do that, and it was no small job to do.
Exactly, and it was for the benefit of the disciples that the stone was rolled away so they could see that the tomb was empty.
The miracle that took place.
Yeah, very important sign that it was 3 days and three nights, exactly seven. In fact, Mark chapter 8, it talks about Christ mentioning to the disciples that after 3 days, he would be raised from the dead.
Not before that period.
Not before.
Time.
So it can't be a day and a half. It can't be Friday to Sunday.
Well, these are some cherished ideas. This is just one we've talked about in terms of the resurrection that deal with the subject of Easter and part of what begins to just cloud the whole knowledge and the understanding of what God is doing and God's purpose. The featured booklet that we are offering today on this program, the Easter Charade, is entitled Holidays or Holy Days? Does it matter which days we keep? Now, this booklet is going to shatter a lot of commonly held beliefs that you have about Easter and about other holidays. It's not just about Easter. We want you to stay tuned and watch this ad on beyondtoday.tv that's going to talk about this. We'll be right back and we'll talk about when Christ was crucified, whether it was on Good Friday. Don't be too sure that you know the answer to that question. We'll be right back.
Bunny rabbits and baby chicks may be cute and cuddly, but what do they have to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Nothing. Neither do the Easter practices with symbols from fertility rites and myths of pagan gods. So call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days. Discover why Easter observance masks what Jesus said about his own death. Also understand for the first time why today's biggest forms of Christianity have nothing to do with the actual practices or teachings of Jesus. Find out about the fatal flaws in Easter never endorsed by Jesus Christ. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days. Does it matter what days we keep?
And we are back to Beyond Today. We're talking today about the Easter charade. Our free featured booklet is Holidays or Holy Days. Does it matter which days we keep? This booklet you can read online at beyondtoday.tv and order a hard copy to be mailed to you if you like. It's a booklet you need to read to fully understand the subject we are talking about today. We're dealing with the matter of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, what his death really does mean, and how it should be celebrated and observed by Christians. This booklet goes into a lot more detail than we're able to discuss in this program, and actually will cover much of what we are even talking about in this program as a kind of refresher of some of the details that you need to understand regarding the subject of Easter. It also goes into other topics, but we'll not get into those today. We'll save those holidays for another program. In the first segment, we saw the importance of the resurrection to the sign of Christ as the Messiah. This leads us to the question of when he was crucified, which is another sacred tradition that is misunderstood. Dave, Luke chapter 23 tells us that Jesus was buried shortly before sunset on the day that he was crucified. Now, this tells us the resurrection then must have occurred precisely at the completion of the third day following his burial, right?
That's right. When we study the gospel accounts, we all remember the fact that Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples during the nighttime. Mm-hmm. He was arrested then. He was then taken off to the Sanhedrin and to the other authorities, eventually to the Roman authorities, and he was crucified then during the next day. Part of the gospel account talks about how darkness overcame the land, where God just brought darkness to show that this was his son from about noon to three. And then after that 3 o'clock time is when he died. Joseph goes to Pilate and requests the body of Christ be taken down off the stake.
Mention this is Joseph of Arimathea, not the Joseph which was the physical father.
That's correct, Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy member, probably a member of the Sanhedrin as well. But nonetheless, he requests for the body of Jesus to be taken down, and he's granted that permission, and he wraps the body very briefly and puts it in his own tomb. That was a very fresh and new tomb, and that was right about the time of sunset. So if he goes into the tomb at sunset, he himself said he'd be there 3 days and three nights. He has to come out of the tomb at sunset as well.
So we move back 3 days from Saturday evening. That takes us to Wednesday, correct?
Exactly. And that's the huge issue that most people are ignorant of, frankly. They've been so wrapped up in the Good Friday tradition that they assume that it has to be Friday. And here's where the difficult challenge comes in, is that there's one gospel account that says Joseph asked that the body be taken down before the Sabbath, that the day Joseph was asking about this was a preparation day. Well, in most people's parlance, what they understand is that the Jewish Sabbath was on Friday sunset to Saturday sunset on Saturday, so the preparation day had to be Friday. But what they don't understand is not just Jews, but Christians as well understand, many Christians understand, that there are annual holy days as well that fall on various days of the week. They can fall on Monday or Friday or Tuesday or Wednesday. And in this case, every time there's an annual holy day, the day before it is a preparation day. Well, in the year Christ was crucified, we actually understand that there was one of these annual holy days, the first day of unleavened bread, on Thursday. So the day before would
Wednesday.
Be a preparation day, Wednesday in this case. So when Joseph asked for the body of Christ, he asked for it on Wednesday afternoon. Christ was put in the grave at sunset on Wednesday. We've got sunset Wednesday to sunset Thursday, Thursday to Friday, Friday to Saturday. We've got our 3 days and three nights. Christ comes out of the tomb at about sunset on Saturday afternoon.
At the end of a three-day period.
At the end of 3 days and three nights. The next morning, Mary and the other disciples come by the cemetery, and what do they find? Christ is gone.
So they did come by on Sunday morning, but he was already gone and had been for several hours.
That's right. The scripture doesn't say he just rose to Mary. Tell your disciples he is risen. He's gone. He's already left here. So that's the issue, is that issue of preparation day. The assumption that preparation is always on a Friday is true on a weekly basis, but there are other preparation days just prior to every other annual holiday, and there are seven of those throughout the year in God's calendar. So this happened to be a Thursday holy day, so there was a Wednesday preparation day. So that's the day Joseph asked for Christ's body.
And that explains then what that exactly is talking about. So you have really two Sabbaths, two periods of holy time that the Bible talks about during the period Christ was in the grave.
Exactly. We have an annual holy day on Thursday, and then we have a regular weekly Sabbath on Saturday.
Well, that topic, that particular explanation is covered in this booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, which our audience can go back and review. It's not difficult to really understand. It's just a matter of laying it all out and letting the scriptures explain what they're talking
about. It's the only way you get 3 days and three nights in having Christ resurrected by Sunday morning.
Which we've already established was the critical sign to prove Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, that the only sign that he gave on that particular issue.
Exactly.
All right. If Christ then was crucified on Wednesday and resurrected 3 days later, late on Saturday evening, then where do we get this Good Friday, Easter, Sunday tradition that has been so much an entrenched part of the observance of traditional Christianity down through the centuries?
Darius, when I first began to hear that there was something strange about the Good Friday, Sunday tradition, what I did, and what a lot of folks I think have done, have gone to their encyclopedia. How do I know this guy talking about religion is telling me the truth? Well, number one, I look in the Bible if it's there. Number two, are there other sources that verify that? So anybody can go to any encyclopedia to find out where do these traditions and customs, including, frankly, the Good Friday to Easter Sunday tradition, come from. And they'll find that so many of these things were grafted in to mainstream Christianity as time went along. Now, if they're grafted in, where'd they come from? They didn't start with Christianity.
They didn't start with the teachings of Christ and what he gave to the church.
Exactly. They were actually kept as religious ceremonies and religious symbols long before Christ ever walked the earth. They're pre-Christian. They're not Christian at all. So what some branches of Christianity did, the mainstream Christian church, is they took these sun-worshipping festivals and symbols, the fertility symbols of the egg and the rabbit and things like that, and they grafted them into Christianity, put Christian titles on them, and assumed that God would be happy with that changeover. But we find that's not really the case at all.
Is that what is called in history a baptism of ancient rites, baptizing them and trying to make them Christian in that sense?
There's some that go to the extent that say, well, yeah, we understand that the rabbit is an ancient fertility symbol because it multiplied. The egg, the same way, this new life coming out of the egg. Well, we'll just put Christ's name on that, and it's a symbol of the resurrection. Christ is coming out of the egg. Well, what that is what we call syncretism. It's taking someone else's religious belief and trying to make it apply to God. But frankly, God is insulted when we take these kind of non-Christian things and try to use them to worship God.
It just doesn't work.
Not at all.
Well, that's what we raise in the question at the bottom of our booklet that we are offering. Does it really matter? Well, it does matter. It matters to God, and it should matter to all of us, and it should matter to you. You may be thinking that all this really doesn't make any difference to your religious faith and practice. After all, you might reason, as long as we honor Christ and do our best, it'll be all right. We can make it up as we go and worship God the way we've always done it. Before you walk away, you might want to hear what God has to say about this. The answer may change your view. We'll be right back.
Bunny rabbits and baby chicks may be cute and cuddly, but what do they have to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Nothing. Neither do the Easter practices with symbols from fertility rites and myths of pagan gods. So call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days. Discover why Easter observance masks what Jesus said about his own death. Also understand for the first time why today's biggest forms of Christianity have nothing to do with the actual practices or teachings of Jesus. Find out about the fatal flaws in Easter never endorsed by Jesus Christ. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days. Does it matter what days we keep? Every family needs a steady diet of good news, so get yours with your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. You'll regularly read about how to apply principles of family success that always work. Raise happy children, enhance and solve problems in your relationship, and move ahead by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv for the good news. Help your family succeed.
And we are back to Beyond Today. Today's topic, the Easter charade. In that last commercial, you saw an ad for the Good News Magazine, which you will receive a complimentary subscription to when you go online and order the booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, Does It Really Matter to God?, which is our featured booklet today. The Good News Magazine will come to you six times a year. You'll get a free subscription. There's no cost, no charge, and it will deal with a number of topics, much of what we are dealing with today and dealing with Christian living and doctrine and basic understanding of biblical topics. We get into Bible prophecy, articles on marriage and the family. It's a valuable publication and magazine that's going to mean a great deal to you. You'll get a free copy when you order the other booklet about holidays and holy days. Dave, let's get back to our subject here. We've covered a great deal already that is important to understand about the myths behind the idea of Easter. If the Easter celebration honors the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as some people say it does, as of course all of Christianity observes it in that manner, then as they would reason, does it really make any difference how or when we celebrate that resurrection of Christ?
It's a common misunderstanding, Darius, that, okay, these things were pre-Christian in origin. They do come from, let's say, sun worship or fertility worship or things like that that had nothing to do with Christianity. But can't we Christianize those things and make them acceptable forms of worship? Some have gone so far to say, well, God conquers the human heart. Can't he conquer these other religious symbols so that we can use them to honor Christ? The problem with that is we don't ask the question, what does God say? That's really the important thing. We can say, well, I can use anything to worship God. But since God is our creator, shouldn't we look to him and find out, does he define how he wants to be worshiped? Does he want us to color an egg and say, this means Jesus' resurrection? Well, we have to look to the Bible to find out, does God even comment about that? And as we said, frankly, God is insulted when we humans try to come up with our own forms of worship when he's very clearly delineated what he expects.
You know, Dave, mankind and cultures have indeed come up with all kinds of differing ideas across the whole spectrum of imagination to worship their concept of God and explain their view of life and their worldview.
Sure. There's an astonishing set of scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 12 where God was at that point speaking to the nation of Israel, his people, and he said to them that he was going to send them into the promised land. But he gave them a strict warning at that time. When you go into the land that I've given you, do not take the ways of the heathen around you and take their ways of worship and try to apply them to me. Now, it's interesting because he says they go to the extent, every imagination of their heart, to the extent of sacrificing their own children.
Which shows how far man will go away from the true paths of God when they take off down that direction.
Yeah, it was not illogical, it was just wrong. See, their logic was, I'm going to give God the very most important and precious thing to me, my child. Surely God will be pleased with that. Well, that was as far from God's heart as anything could be. So what he did say, instead of going that direction of deciding for yourself, of taking bunnies and eggs and applying them to God, he said, what I tell you to do in verse 32, that's what you should do. You don't add to it, you don't take away from it. So rather than saying, isn't it okay to take these non-Christian ceremonies and make them Christian, the question we ought to be asking is, what does the Bible say God says? So that's what we ought to find and start to do.
Well then, Dave, we have all of these symbols we've talked about of colored eggs and the traditions of a Good Friday, Sunday morning, resurrection and all of that. Taken as a package, what does that really do to the real meaning of the central events of what the Bible does speak to regarding Christ's death and his resurrection? What do all these other traditions and false teachings do to those central truths?
The problem with that, Darris, is that it confuses the issue and hides the real meaning. If I give you an illustration.
Kind of like a charade.
Exactly. When I was a little guy growing up in the typical Protestant church, our family was quite involved in the church. Every year we went to the Easter sunrise service. Every year we had the Easter egg hunt. We had the Easter baskets and the candy and all these things. And again, maybe it was just my family, but I don't think so. What do I remember about that? What was important to me?
Jelly beans.
The Easter basket, the jelly beans, the chocolate rabbits, the marshmallow chicks, you know.
The real important things.
That's exactly right. So one might say, well, that's just a nice way to get children attached to it. But the problem is, there's no truth in it. There's no understanding in it. So it actually hides the meaning of what Christ did in giving his life for us and the fantastic miracle that he was resurrected and now sits on the right hand of God advocating for us.
And that's what is hidden by the charade of Easter that hides a lot of the truth of what God is and what God is going to do. Well, we've discussed a great deal, Dave, in this program, and there's a lot more to talk about. We'll be right back to continue our discussion. Stay tuned and listen to this.
Bunny rabbits and baby chicks may be cute and cuddly, but what do they have to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Nothing. Neither do the Easter practices with symbols from fertility rites and myths of pagan gods. So call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days. Discover why Easter observance masks what Jesus said about his own death. Also understand for the first time why today's biggest forms of Christianity have nothing to do with the actual practices or teachings of Jesus. Find out about the fatal flaws in Easter never endorsed by Jesus Christ. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days. Does it matter what days we keep?
You're probably saying right now, yes, I know that Easter and all its symbols are not in the Bible, and I can plainly see that Christ was not resurrected on a Sunday morning. But as long as we keep Easter in a Christian spirit as a kind of remembrance of his resurrection, what difference does it make? The answer depends purely and simply on whether or not God exists. If there is no God, then of course it makes absolutely no difference. But if there is a living God in heaven, and you can prove absolutely that there is, and if that God says it makes a difference to him, then it had better make a difference to you as well as to me. The Easter tradition cannot be supported by your Bible, but you can learn how Christ taught his disciples to remember his death and resurrection. The way is taught in the pages of your Bible. Read the literature offered on this program to learn how to worship God in spirit and truth. It'll change your life. Dave, thanks for being with us on the program.
You're welcome, Darris.
Remember, when you're looking to understand your future, this is the program Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.